but Psalm 37 and verse 21 to 27. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your salvation and your precious blood that washes away our sin. Lord, help us this morning, please, as your people, Lord, to learn to let you order our steps so you can bless us more and help us live for you. Bless each person, bless each family, each home, please. Help us, please, as only you can. We'll give you the praise and the glory, and amen. You can have a seat there, and look at verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I'm going to have you turn to several places, but just listen to this verse here, Psalm 119, verse 133. It says this, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Two verses that the prayer, the statement in Psalm 37 is, you're only a good man in the eyes of the Lord if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't, the wrath of God abides on you, right? John chapter 5, verse 36, 336. However, if you're saved, you are good in God's eyes as he can order your steps. It's amazing our society is so steeped in humanism and follow your heart and do whatever you want to do and may your dreams come true and you can be whatever you want to be instead of you can be what God wants you to be. And you only have a short period on this earth to live for the Lord and you're either going to live it for you or God. And if you live it for you, you'll have regrets. So our society is so steeped in humanism when you say, let God order your steps. People will say, something I've always wanted to do is juggle. So I juggle for the Lord. Okay, that's something you always want to do. Is that something God wanted you to do? It's amazing how people take whatever they want to do and then they put God with it. And they think, well, because I want to do it, that's what God wants me to do. That's the thinking in America. If God is going to order your steps, he orders them in his word. Psalm 119, 133, we read Psalm 37, 23. And this morning's message is on, does God order your steps? Okay, well, think with me just for a second. That means for me to read the Bible, it has to correct me. If I'm getting ready to step here and God says, no, this is the right way, then God shows you himself through his word and God leads you through his word. God doesn't lead you through your feelings. God doesn't lead you through your opinion. God leads you through his word. Now I'm going to make a strong statement and I'm going to show you something. If you're not reading the Bible, God can't guide you. When you pray, that's you talking to the Lord. And when you read God's word, this is what comes out of his mouth. This is God talking to you. So if you don't have a time where you're reading your Bible, how can you get God's instruction? I'll answer the question. You don't. You can't. It's impossible. That's why one of the most important things a Christian does is read their Bible. And you've heard me say it before. I'm so glad I love our church and I love you in church, okay? But if this is the only time you look at the Bible, your Christianity is weak. Do you understand? Well, we read it in church. I know we read. I hope we read it in church. I hope so. But when tomorrow on Monday are you reading your Bible? When Tuesday are you reading your Bible? And when are you going to let God instruct you and teach you? Watch this. Well, see, I've already read it. It's the only book that's eternal in the world. And if you've read it once, read it again. It's wonderful. Four chapters a day puts you through the Bible in 1 year. Four chapters a day takes you 12 minutes. 12 minutes a day will put you through the Bible in a year, and most don't even do that. All I'm trying to tell you is to be a good man in the eyes of the Lord, a saved Christian, that God can direct and help and guide and move, you have to get God's, to order his steps. How does, okay, watch this. Go to Psalm 119, verse 9. Go to Psalm 119, verse 9. You say, is this another sermon on reading your Bible? Sort of. Why do you preach so much on reading your Bible? In America, we have so many distractions and so much to deal with. If you can get a Christian to read their Bible every day, you're doing really good. And they're better for it too, by the way. But it is rare, just so you know, okay? Everybody doesn't do it. Everybody, now watch this. Everybody knows they should. If I asked you to take out a piece of paper and to where nobody could see it, and if I said, write the top three things down that you're not doing that God wants you to do, just do you feel? Do you know what the top two things of most people's list would be? Bible reading and prayer. Now, I didn't tell you that we're not going to do that and pass them all in and then we'll count. I'm not doing that. But I'm telling you, a Christian that reads their Bible every day for God's direction, it's rare. It's not the norm. And it should be. And I hope this encourages you. Look at Psalm 119, verse 9. Ready? It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. God directs you as you read his word. God guides you as you read his word. God, okay, it says, cleanse his way. When you've got a messed up life, drug addict, former prostitute, former thief, former, name the background. Whatever is bad in your past that you wish wasn't there, do you know how you clean it up? God's word. God's word. Did you know the kids that they would take off the street down in Corpus Christi, Texas with Lester Roloff? They were drug addicts. They were into the prostitution. Do you know how he helped them clean up? Number one, they had to want to be there. Nobody was made to be there. When they were coming there and saying, I need help. My life's all messed up. You know what the first thing they had to do? They memorized a chapter of the Bible a day. He said, well, if you're going to clean up your life, first thing you got to start doing is putting the Bible in your life. Get it in your heart so it can clean you up. That's how they got off the drugs. That's how they got off the streets. That's how they clean. And then they were used of the Lord. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Look at verse number 65. Look at verse 65. Psalm 119. We're just staying right in Psalm 119. A lot of verses there. And look at verse number 65. It says here, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. God will deal with you as you read his word. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but if you're not reading your Bible, God can't lead you. You're left to yourself. You'll do what you think you ought to do. You'll do what you feel you ought to do. You'll do what others tell you to do. But to get God's direction, you have to read his word. That's verse 69. Look over at Psalm 1, verse 105. Verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word guides you. Light doesn't make things appear or make things disappear. Light just reveals what's already there. Light reveals what you should avoid or you'll bump into it, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And it's because of God's word that God can direct me. And that's how God directs each Christian. Watch this. I want you to look at two more verses here and then we'll look at some more. Look at verse 59. Look at verse 59. Watch this. Verse 59. Powerful verse. This helps me in my Christian life. I thought, Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I read the Bible and I thought, how does my life match up with what God's saying? And I changed the direction of my feet or my life. If I keep doing this in 10 years, where will I be? You ever heard the teacher say, you keep doing that, you're going to be in jail. You ever hear that? Well, what about you as a Christian? If God's going to use you, all of us, he has to be able to say, don't do that, do this. Order my steps in thy word. And then here, when I started thinking about my life, I changed the direction of my feet to do what God said. That's why, here we go, not only is your Bible time important, your time to think about what you're reading is important. I'm amazed. You know, the ability to read and then think about what you're reading is getting rarer and rarer. Meditation, Bible meditation, isn't emptying your mind. It's taking a Bible verse and thinking about it. What does God want me to do because of what he just said? That's biblical meditation. God, speak to my heart. Your mind and your heart are the same thing in the Bible, okay? Do you think about what you're reading? That's why I think one of the most important things you can take to your Bible time is a pen or a pencil. And when God speaks to your heart, you underline the verse. You mark it. Then you could take a piece of paper and you could write down the thoughts God gives you when you're reading his word. A journal is very helpful. So you can go what? Go back to what God gave you. It's good. Not necessarily a diary. Okay, that was verse number 59. Look at verse 101. Look at verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. That means God has to be able to tell you no through the Bible. There has to be some things that your life says, you know, I have a leaning to do this. And God says, if you want my blessing, you won't do that. I've told you before, the first thing God touched my heart about was my filthy mouth when I got saved 35 years ago. My dad looked right at me and said, son, you cuss an awful lot. Then I got saved a couple of months later, and those words of my dad echoed in my head. Did I have other problems? Did I have a tobacco problem? Did I have other problems in my life? Yes, but what was the first thing I worked on when I got saved? My filthy mouth. It took me 4 days to quit cussing. And then I'd find myself saying, oops, sorry, Lord, you know. It didn't happen overnight. It was a journey. What can God tell you to stop? I'm just giving you an example, okay? Lord, I don't want iniquity or sin in my life, so Lord, please direct me and help me. Help me put up guards in my life so you can bless me. Things I don't do. Okay, so God guides you with his word. God also corrects you with his word. So, when God guides you and leads you and orders your steps in his word, he gives you principles to apply to your life. What is a principle? I put on the back of the bulletin so you could take it home. A principle is a direct truth from God's word that can be applied in any age or stage of life. That's a principle. You could say, I've given you Bible principles thus far this morning on reading your Bible, okay? Where does it say you're supposed to read your Bible every day in the Bible? It doesn't. But can I pull that from there? Yeah. Would anybody say, you shouldn't be preaching that? That's not in the Bible. No, right? Everybody knows they're supposed to read their Bible because of what the Bible says. That's a principle pulled from the Bible. Let me give you an example of a Bible principle, okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Go over one book. You're in Psalms. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And look at verse 20, okay? All I'm trying to do is as your pastor, I hope you... It's one thing if I could get you to read your Bible. It's another thing if I could get you to think about what you're reading and let God speak to your heart and guide you and direct you. This is an example. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 20, and watch this. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools might be or shall be destroyed. Shall be. That's a promise. You hang around fools and you will be destroyed. We had a bus kid that was in Tennessee, and I preached to the 4th through 6th graders. His brother got shot in the back of the head from the pickup in their parking lot because he was with a gang the night before and owed them money, and they came after him when he was in, blocked him in, and then shot him. He said, Brother Nash, would you pray for my brother? He was hanging around the wrong crowd. If you hang around the wrong people, fool, you shall be destroyed. That means you have to evaluate people and say, is that a wise person? Is that a fool? Are they wise? Are they a fool? Oh, that's judging. You better judge. If you can't determine who's wise and who's a fool, well, I don't judge anybody. You better. Can I show you how to determine who's a fool? Okay, here's some traits. We're just going to go through this real quick. Watch this. God tells me if I hang around fools, I'm going to be destroyed. I need to be careful about the crowd I run with, and I don't ever want to spend time with a fool. How do I live this in my life? Go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Look, you have to determine who's wise and who's fool. You can't come to me as a pastor and say, you know what? I really like that sermon, preacher. I'm not going to hang around fools anymore. Who is a fool in our church? You can't ask me that question. I can't tell you, well, you know, so-and-so. And I can't do that. That's your job as a Christian, to read your Bible and then watch how people act and then figure it out. I know, nothing we can do. Okay, stick with me. Okay, here we go. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. All right, ready? Watch this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The first trait God tells you a fool has is they don't like the Bible, right? Instruction comes from the Bible. And if somebody says, oh, I don't have anything to do with the Bible, I'm a self-pronounced atheist, okay, I wish you'd change, but you're a fool in God's eyes. And I cannot spend time with you. I don't want you influencing my life. Does that make sense? That's verse 7. Look at verse 10 here in chapter 1. Watch this. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That means I'm going to be tempted with the wrong crowd. Oh, come with us and do this. I cannot spend time with you because you don't love God. You don't want the Bible in your life. You think it's old-fashioned or it's old fogey or whatever. You're a fool. And I don't know. I wish you'd change. God says you're a fool and I can't hang around you. Does everybody understand? That's a Bible principle. I'm not being mean, but you have to think that way as a Christian or you will be destroyed. Does that make sense? I have to pull, okay, if you want to be wise, then quit acting like a fool, right? Don't take the trait. Let's look at some more. What does a fool do so I can recognize them and not hang around them as a Christian? Watch this. Go to Proverbs 13. We'll just stay in Proverbs and watch this. Proverbs chapter 13. And look at verse 19. I love the statement, Proverbs is a timeless book. It's timeless. It does not matter what age, era it's in. All the verses apply to all of your life all of the time. And it's wonderful. What can you get out of it? Proverbs, look at chapter 13, look at verse 19. It says here, it says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. So a fool doesn't like stopping the wrong that they're doing. Let me give you a case. When a family member gets saved and they start doing right and the other family sees them doing it and then they don't want to get saved or they start telling the person that's saved, don't tell me how to do right. I know what you used to do, right? They shove the wrong back in their face. I'm not changing that. I don't care if you don't do it anymore. It is an abomination for a fool to change their life. Don't you tell me that's wrong. You don't want to change for the Lord? Then does everybody understand? God labels. So you wouldn't change if God touched your heart or gave you somebody in your life as an example or convicted you. You wouldn't change. I'm not changing nothing. My life's fine. And how many people are getting upset over that? What did they just say in the paper last week? Baptists are the same as the terrorists in Afghanistan because they force their lifestyle. Who was some stupid idiot in Hollywood said that? They have the Taliban over in the Middle East, and what do we have in America? We have Baptists here that force their lifestyle on people. We don't force our lifestyle on people. If you don't want to get saved, you can die and go to hell any way you want. I hope you do, but I don't make anybody get saved. God doesn't make anybody get saved. This is America. You can do anything you want, and most do. most do. No, we don't. We're not. We don't force our lifestyle on anybody. But I got news for you. If you're not doing drugs and you get around somebody that's doing drugs and they offer you a joint or they offer you the drug and you go, I promise you it convicts them. They know they shouldn't be doing that junk. Their conscience tells them that. Well, don't do it. Are you some goody two-shoot? No. I'm saved. I don't do that stuff. I don't live that way. It convicts them. That's not us forcing our lifestyle. That's us living the life God. I praise God for our freedom. Amen. While we have it, let's live for the Lord. Okay, watch this. It says here, it's an abomination for fools to depart from evil. Go to chapter 14. Look at chapter 14, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. All I'm doing this morning is I'm saying, okay, I'm using one example, and I'm saying if God tells me if you hang around a fool, you shall be destroyed. Okay, God, teach me who a fool is, and I won't hang around them. They think it's an abomination to depart from evil, and then they make fun of sin. Sin's just a light thing. Oh, who cares? Oh, hey, live it up while you got it. Life's short. Like, don't make fun of sin. If you do, if you mock at it, you're labeling yourself as a fool, and I shouldn't be spending time with you. Does everybody understand? You have to do this. These are principles that you pull from the Bible and say, look, we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a America's got problems, it's got issues, but there's certain things I'm not supposed to take part in. I'm supposed to pull principles from the Bible and say, that's part of my guidelines and boundaries that I have as a man and as a Christian. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. God says, don't do that. Can I give you an example? I don't care if marijuana is legal or not. It's wrong. Well, it's legal. What are you going to do when they make cocaine legal?
Well, it's legal.
What does that have to do with the tea in China? It's always been wrong to smoke dope. Losers smoke dope. I've been taught that since I was a kid. Now all of a sudden it's legal. Well, you know, it's legal, so it's got to be. It's wrong. That should be I have Bible principles that says when you do drugs, psychedelic, that stuff, THC and all the garbage that's in it, you enter the world of the demonic and you give Satan access to your life. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my life. I don't want it. You say, well, yeah, but you can get prescription. It's wrong. What are you going to do when they make LSD legal? We'll just be tripping. The thinking is kooky. I don't care. The world will continue to get more liberal and worse. What are you going to do when they legalize pedophilia? That's where it's going. It'll always be wrong, whether it's legal or not. I should have principles from the Bible that says, these are my boundaries. God gave them to me. And I want God's blessing on my life. I don't want to live like the world. World's going cuckoo. Amen. Praise God. It's the word. I gave you an illustration of marijuana because I think it's kind of relevant for the day. But watch this. Here we go. We're looking at a fool. What's a few more? Let's look at two more. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, verse 2. Go over one chapter. Ready? Watch this. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. That's the trait of a fool. You'll always notice all through Proverbs, a fool talks a lot and says nothing. And you'll find also the opposite is true. A wise man knows how to keep his mouth shut. It says a fool speaks all of his heart.
Well, if I feel it, I say it.
Careful. That's the trait of a fool. You don't know how to bite your tongue? You're not supposed to speak.
Well, I just speak my piece, and what you see is what you get.
Okay, I can appreciate a little bit of that, but you do know what you're dealing with. A fool, his mouth pours out foolishness. They talk a lot and they say nothing. It's just, well, you know what I think? Are you changing anything?
Well, no, I'm just speaking my piece.
Careful. You have the trait of a fool. You're acting like a fool when you behave this way. Can I go? Well, let's go one more step, Christian. I want to be wise in God's eyes so I can get God's blessings. When somebody does this, you're being a fool in God's eyes. You can't get God's blessings this way. Let's look at one more verse. You're in Proverbs 15. Go to Proverbs. Go back to look at chapter 10, verse 19. Chapter 10, Proverbs. When I think this sermon came to me because, you know, as we watch the world and its insanity and its stupidity and the foolishness and the instability and all of that, my Bible gives me stability if I'll read it and let God direct me. They're going to keep on going crazy. The world's crazy. It's nuts. It's not changing tomorrow. But I can have stability in my life, peace, and God's comfort if I'll just stick in the book. Amen. And let God's word direct.
Well, what are we supposed to do about this now?
I don't know. I just know if you'll stick in your Bible, God can help you. Amen. I don't have all the answers. I know God does. And God can direct you like God directs me, by giving you principles. Look at Proverbs 10. Look at verse number 19. And watch this. It says here, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. There's another verse. Fools talk a lot and say nothing. I like the old statement, before cell phones, when, do y'all remember when phones hung on the wall? Okay. Remember when they had the long cords that reached all the way across the house? You know what I mean? And then, you know, people would do this, you know, when they're walking through the house. And then they went wireless. Remember those? Okay. It's like, oh, no more. We can talk upstairs. Then we finally got cell phones. There was an old statement that the old people used to talk about, and this is how it kind of went. To keep from being a gossip, I don't talk longer than 10 minutes on the phone. That's old timey. Do you know how come? They said, watch every conversation you get into. After about 10 minutes, it starts going towards people or opinions or something. Just say what you got to say, communicate, get it done, and get off the phone. Now people are living on their phones. In the multitude of words, the more words you speak, that's what it says, the more opportunity there is for misunderstandings, sin, wrong. Keep the conversation short. Look, I'm all for fellowship and love and all that, but I'm just talking about one area of life. Can you limit what comes out of your mouth? Controlling the tongue's a key issue in the Christian life. We looked at a fool this morning, and I'm just using one example. I hope you can read your Bible and let God guide you. What is a fool? What does God tell me is a fool so I don't hang around him? God guides us in our lives by giving us principles. Next, go to Psalm 119. We're going to probably close with this. Psalm 119, look at verse 25. Psalm 119, go back to Psalms and look at all of these beautiful promises. Look at verse 25. Ready? Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Okay, let's think about that. What does cleaving to the dust mean? If my soul or my personality, that's your soul, is low and cleaving to the dust, that means in a point of depression, when I'm depressed or frustrated with life, if my soul is cleaving to the dust, what does God say the answer is? Quicken thou me according to thy word. What's the word quicken mean? Make alive, bring up from the dead. That's here we go. The Bible is my answer to my frustrations. You're going to hear me say this about five more times. If I could just get you to love your Bible, you can handle anything we've got coming. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know. What are we supposed to do? You know, everybody keeps bringing up Afghanistan right now. They're bringing in 10,000 refugees into Texas. They're bringing in a whole, I think, 4,000 into Pennsylvania. Okay, I mean, they're flying them in. What are we supposed to do? I don't know. Read your Bible. Well, it's frustrating. We're here in America, and they're bringing it. What are we supposed to do about the world? I don't know. When my soul cleaves to the dust, if I could just get you to read your Bible, God can help you. There's nothing you can do that's going to change that. Nothing. They don't care what you have to say in Washington. And if you wrote them, they'll throw it in the trash. But what could you do? You could get encouragement and strength from the book. Let God strengthen you according to his word. Look at verse 28. Ready? Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Strengthen me according to thy word. The Bible is the answer. Enjoy your Bible. Look at verse 50. It says here, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You know what the word affliction means? It means sustained pain. It means pain that won't leave. Affliction is the problem you deal with when you go to bed and you find yourself thinking about when you get up, and it never leaves. That's the term. It can be bad news. It can be a suffering. It can be a disease. But an affliction is prolonged suffering. It never stops. How do you make it through that? Whatever it is, Lord, I'm thinking too much about this stuff. Please, Lord, strengthen me according to your word. You get relief from the Bible. Here we go. That was verse 50. Ready? That was verse 50. How about this? Look at verse 81. Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I hope in thy word. You know what? As a preacher this morning, I can say to me, I think I'm preaching to me first. Amen. Then I can say to you, my hope is in the Bible this morning. It's the only thing I own that isn't going to change. It's the only thing I have that everything else may change tomorrow. And I really don't know what tomorrow holds, but I hope in God's word. This book is eternal. Amen. That was verse 81. Look at verse number 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Look at verse 162. Look at verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. That doesn't mean he looked in the refrigerator and something was rotten. The word spoil means something that you take from, that the victor takes from the loser. And when they would fight a battle, you would spoil the bodies of the slain and take the gold and their valuables. And he said, read it again. It says here, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can I just ask you, Christian, do you look forward to reading your Bible? If it's a burden, great, he preached another message on reading the Bible. Next. If it's a burden, you get nothing out of it. If it's just going through the motions, I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. I can't wait to see what God gives me when I read his word. This is my time with the Lord. Christian, it's supposed to be yours. Amen. Let me say it again. If I could get you and help you enjoy your Bible time, you can face anything.
Well, what if
you could face anything if you love your God's book? Amen. But when this is in question, life does this.
Who knows what's man, what's happening?
I haven't got the answer. God's word does. Watch this. One more. Look at John. Go to the New Testament now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And look at chapter 6 and look at verse 63. And we'll close with this. John chapter 6, verse 63. Ready? I hope you mark it in your Bible and look at it later. Ready? It is, Jesus said here in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words are your life. If you're saved, this book should mean everything to you. I like when I just got saved and I was going to Grace Baptist Church in the Marine Corps, and it was Jacksonville. This old man, I didn't know a lot of people in church. I knew a few, but I'll never forget, the pastor said, let's have a time for testimony. It was on a Sunday night. He said, let's have a time of testimony. And I remember a man stood up in the back and he said, Pastor, I'd just like to thank God that I'm saved. And if they took everything from me, he said, I feel like I could, all I need is the Bible. That's what he was just saying. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. How important is your Bible to you? This morning, I wanted to draw your attention to letting God order your steps. And God can't do that if you don't read the Bible. You're left to yourself to do what you want to do. For God to guide you, you have to get in the book. For God to guide you, he has to be able to give you principles that you think about and you pull for yourself from the book. Let's close with this thought. Where do you go when you need direction?
Google? Well, just Google it.
You know Google's in China, right? You know they just said 2 weeks ago, every American, they said the file of information that China has because of Google on every American, everything your phone has been at, every place your computer has been at, they said the files are feet thick if they printed them off on every American. I'm sick of it. I don't have anything to hide, but why is China interested in that? I don't. So what do you go to when you need direction? Where does God's word play, Christian? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means this book has to have priority. I hope it's a help to you, encouragement. Let's pray. Father, please, I know we only scratched, Lord, we just looked at one topic to try to help us.